Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to She Podcasts. This is Monday, July 6th. I am Jessica Kupferman, your co-host. With me, as always, your other much nicer co-host, Elsie Escobar. She just gave me a look that said maybe today she's not nicer. That does happen on occasion. And then, of course, our producer, John Jamingo. Hello, John.
Good morning, ladies. Afternoon. Hello. Hello, ladies.
Whoever's listening, whatever it is, good afternoon, good evening, and good night, and good morning.
Whatever Rob says, that usually works. Rob Walsh from the feed.
Independence Day was this past weekend, and no one saw any fireworks, at least unless you looked it up on YouTube, which I did.
Well, I don't know about it where you
did. I did.
Did you look it up on YouTube, or you saw it in person?
We were outside looking at the moon, and then fireworks.
Ooh. I heard a lot of them. But I don't know where they were.
Every fireworks display was canceled in my area.
Me too.
And as soon as it got dark, I never seen so many fireworks. And I'm not talking bottle rocket there. I'm talking fireworks.
Me too.
And it was.
But I don't know where they were coming from. They must have just been in everyone's house.
People were all having their own fireworks. They're like, we're not having fireworks. They all ran down to Delaware, where you can buy legal fireworks.
At the mall here, right across the street from me.
Right. And then they just bought a bunch of fireworks and came home and made all the dogs cry.
We had sparklers. Then I looked up fireworks on YouTube, and then I realized that the most exciting fireworks were not from USA, but in Japan and Philippines. They have a big fireworks contest in the Philippines every year, so we watch that. There are some crazy fireworks in the Asian countries. Like, shit I've never seen before. Like, they were, like, moving in, like, waves, and it was crazy. Amazing. So, yeah, hopefully you guys all had a nice weekend.
Yep.
Well, I mean, we have some cool stuff to talk about, so I guess we should just get sports. So
yes,
funny.
We do.
What's funny? No,
I'm laughing. I'm just laughing at you guys talking about the fireworks.
I just watched Jess peter out. Jess petered out like a firework. He went up and it just twinkled
and
down.
And then she's like, ugh. But, I mean, we can start off by some follow-up. We had follow-up, y'all. This was great.
Okay, let's
remember
have
we
it.
Asked some opinions.
Yes.
We asked opinions as what everybody thought. I'm trying to stop saying you guys. I really am, and it's the hardest thing. I think it's even harder than not drinking coffee for me, which is like saying a lot.
Not saying you guys?
Yeah. Because I say it all the time. So I don't catch it prior to saying you guys. I catch it after.
You have a couple masculine ones because you also say dude a lot, and that's masculine
as well.
Yeah, dude,
but dude is an exclamation to me. Like, dude is
But also, dude and you guys are not specifically meant as masculine. So, for example, pretend that the word, you know, white meant innocent. It doesn't mean, like, the color white. And yet, when you say something's white, people think that means that it's innocent. When really, you just mean the color. Vice versa. It's sort of like dude just means like, yo. Not dude as in you dude rancher you. But like, but like dude as in like, hell, you know, it means yo to you. And it is really hard. Do you know what I'm saying? Am I making sense at all? Because you're kind of
yeah,
both looking
no,
at me like I'm
but,
not.
But what I'm saying is that with you guys.
You repurposed those two words to mean something completely different for you.
Right.
And as a result, it's hard to remember to change it.
For me, dude is an interjection.
It means OMG.
So dude is like, dude
means
is
yo.
Everything. It means, no, not even yo. It's not a salutation. It's an
it
interjection. It's like, oh, wow. No way. All of those things is dude.
When I text it to you, dude, what I mean is, Elsie, oh my God, you need to pay attention to this. Holy shit.
Right.
But it is directed at you, dude. You, dude. Dude. Right? Right?
Yeah. But see, I use dude not like that. I use dude for everything I just said. Like, if I look at something and it's amazing, I'm like, dude. And if I look, and if something hurts me, I'm like, dude. And if something, you know, so it's like.
Wait, if something hurts you, you don't just say the F word. I mean, when I get hurt, just the F word just comes piling out of my mouth, whether I want it to or
not. It does
not.
I say dude. So if I see something shocking, I'm like, dude, dude.
So you say that when no one's there.
Yeah. It just comes out of my mouth.
All right. So I just want to ask you just this real quick, because I want to just test this theory, if you don't mind. All right. So yeah. I want you to go back into your acting, okay? So you're walking across the room. And as you're walking across the room, you stub your little toe on the end of the bed. Ooh. You say,
ouch.
Oh, do you? Okay.
What?
No one says that. No one says that when they stub their little toe.
I will. Yeah, yeah. I will say that.
It's usually, fuck. That's what I say.
As loudly as possible. I say,
fuck. When I mess up, I will say the F word. If I mess something up, like if I spill something. But I think if I hurt me, I get mad and I yell. Like I don't yell a word. I just make a sound.
I use all the bad words I know, in fact.
Like when Jessica or Elsie loses their internet and they pop off of here, I sit here and my eye twitches, but inside my mind is screaming the F word.
Yeah. F. Yeah. That's an interesting theory. Yeah.
But when it comes to dude, though, is all the things.
Do you text Randy, dude? If you want Randy's attention, do you text
sometimes.
Him, dude?
I don't text Randy in the same way that I text most of other people.
Okay.
Yeah, usually there's no, there's communication, but not.
Not dude?
A lot. Not dude, no.
You're not cooking in and say, dude, give me some macaroni, or dude, can you get this out of the refrigerator?
You don't do like a dude, guess what happened to me today on text?
No.
To Randy, never?
No.
Interesting. Hmm.
So like when I was a kid, dude was when it became like, you know, kind of in fashion, I guess, like all the Valley Girl stuff. And I probably called my father dude one time. And then he was like, don't fucking ever call me dude. I'm not a dude. I'm your dad. Like he was furious about it. And to this day, he's the only person I don't call dude. Everyone else gets a dude, but my dad.
Well, I've called my daughters dude.
I call my sons dude all the time.
But
and they call me dude.
But see, it's like when it comes to dude, yes, it is. Sometimes I'll call people dude. But like, again, I use it as an interjection. I use it for everything. It's like my response to all the things. I can have a full on conversation back and forth with somebody just saying dude. In fact, we did that on Twitter.
Yeah.
You and I did. Totally just.
Dude.
We did that. We had a whole conversation. Just
we totally
saying
did.
Dude.
Just dudes. Is it fair to announce, though, that you have redefined the word to mean something differently to you? Therefore, you don't have to rearrange your language to please others? Or do you still have to get out of the habit of saying dude and you guys?
Well, I think dude I'm going to keep. I think dude is different than you guys.
I'm never going to be able to stop. It's very contagious. I never said dude nearly as much as I did before I met you. But now I say it all the time, and it's all your fault.
I'm a horrible influence. But when it says you guys, yes, I try to stop that because I don't want to say you guys. Like, I want to stop that. But unfortunately, I haven't caught it pre-saying it. I'm still saying it post-saying it. So I don't catch it until it's out of my mouth. It's that unconscious. Right. So I'm trying to work on it, and I'm not quite sure how to do it. And yes, I understand that there's a replacement. Right. So I know how that there you could replace things like, hey, folks. Hey, y'all. What up, everybody? Like all of those different things.
All of that sounds ridiculous coming out of your mouth, just so you know.
Like, can't we just take the gender out of the word? Because it does. I mean, my kids, guys, let's go. Come on. Let's move. We got to go. Guys, can't we just take gender out of the word, please?
Yeah, I feel like guys should be. Are there any other words that you take the gender out besides guys and dude?
That you take the gender out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like mankind. Like mankind doesn't mean man to me. It means humankind. It doesn't mean.
But also, I mean, but there's been a lot of changes with wording. Isn't there? What do you call now? Like before it was, what is that person that is on the airplane that helps people?
Steward and stewardess.
That's right. That has been changed to something else.
Flight attendant.
I forgot the. Yes, that's right. Yeah. And then there is.
Well, there's waitress and waiter.
That's right. That's the other one.
To server.
But then that's also been changed. Ooh. It's server. Yeah.
Oh, I don't even know if I like that one anymore.
That's an old one because I was a server 20 years ago. That's old.
Yeah, but that's also been changed. Well, see, and then you get really confused because in Spanish, the entire language is gendered. The entire language. Like, there is no neutral. That's why the X is used, but the X is used when you read it. It is very hard to add an X to words when you're speaking. Like, it's just, that's even
especially when
weirder.
You're speaking. because no one's
reading
it.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
So.
When you're speaking, it's really strange. And then you don't know. And also, oh, yeah, it is just so confusing because everything is gendered. Like, this is female. This is a female thing.
Do you say you guys in Spanish when you're speaking Spanish?
Because you.
It doesn't have that. No. You can't, right?
What do you say in
Spanish? Well, I guess you can't. I mean, no, because that's a very, that's a colloquial, that's a very language specific, right? And it's very culturally specific. In fact, even from Spanish to Spanish, you have different ways of saying things like you guys. And usually it is not gendered, I think.
Yeah.
Or maybe it is gendered. I don't know. I haven't really broken it down that much. I have no idea.
Yeah. This is our first attempt, I guess.
That's a lot to think about. It's so much to think about that we've been doing this now for 13 minutes.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So anyway, I was going to say, in fact, let's go back to our feedback, people. Because,
yes, shall we?
Yeah. So we got some feedback because we requested some last episode about the whole Mueller, she wrote, fiasco. Right. That happened. That wasn't a fiasco. I think it was more like dramatic things that happened. And we had a response on Twitter from the amazing Barry from Podcast in Color, the Podcast in Color catalog and directory. And then she said, I miss the Mueller, she wrote drama. I agree most high-profile jobs will mention not making podcast content based on your work, going to make it harder to have another thing you're building if it's in the same industry. And she followed it up with another one that says, part of this is knowing your workplace. She always knew they'd be angry. That's why she never used her real name. I too understand using other names on the internet. All my call center jobs mentioned, not mentioning them on social, though. Very detailed. And so, but I think she's onto something there because I think from now on, it's just going to be more nuanced. And she's right. Like, if you are in a specific industry and you want to start something else, like on the side, it's going to be a little bizarro to do some of this stuff. And maybe they'll have, like, if you're working at a larger company, don't they give you guidelines of what you can and cannot do?
They should. But I mean, this is the U.S. government. That seems very obvious to me, especially if it's a matter of national security.
We're trying to generalize it here for the podcasting industry.
Yes, they should give you guidelines as to what you can and can't do. But they can't really do that about your personal life. So it's tricky. They can't really, like, in other words, you should be able to do whatever you want when you're not at work. They can't really say, like, when you're home, you still can't wear red. Like, you can't do that to people. This isn't that much different, though. Even though it's a public-facing thing, they can't say, you can't talk about this with anyone. I mean, they must be doing confidentiality agreements. Companies do that. They forbid you from talking about anything that's happening there.
Right. And you can do that. Like the Apple people. Because that's the other piece of feedback. We got that from Daniel Lewis that he was mentioning. And he said that Apple does that. Like you can't have – that's why Apple can't really come on people's shows to talk about these things.
You can't talk about half the shit you know about Libsyn on here.
Right. Yeah, you're right. But then I'm also, I mean, yeah, you're correct. Yeah. I don't like talk about anything behind the scenes for Libsyn.
Technically. But so you have signed an agreement saying that if it comes out that
you've
said something
about. No, I haven't. I'm just.
You haven't?
Smart. No.
You've not signed an agreement, though. I bet you have.
No. No, I haven't. That's why I'm saying it. I think that when we first started, there's nothing that says, like, there are some things that are known that we talk about amongst ourselves that I have learned by being around it. It's sort of like when you're with your family and your mom says you eat with your mouth closed. Like, that's not that's like something you tell somebody and you say, like, oh, okay, I got to eat with my mouth closed. And then you kind of learn it by everybody together. So therefore, that's how I've learned. I've gone into Libsyn and there's been times when something has been said where I go, oh, check mark. That's something somebody said here in this room that is not that we are not to talk about other places, right? So therefore, you kind of glean that. And if you and this is the thing, it's like if you have an intelligent person who has ethical guidelines, they will then go, that's an inappropriate thing for me to do If I need to do this, I need to talk to Lori and say, can I talk about this and this and this? Right? So there's that. Mind you, with Apple, they do have those details. Like, you're just not allowed to talk about anything, like at all.
No, Daniel had a co-host who worked for Apple. And as soon as anything like that came up, he was zip it. He would say, I'm not talking about it. I'm not saying a word.
And Scott, too, he couldn't talk about what kind of projects he was working on at Comcast.
Right. Or he couldn't even really talk about Comcast.
I'm pretty sure he's forbidden from talking about it now that he doesn't work there for like at least 2 years.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, the point is she made a boo-boo, this girl.
Yeah, but I guess the point is, can they actually stop you? Can there be like, let's say you're being hired for a job, like your ultimate job, whatever that is. And they ask you, okay, part of the process here is that you never talk about your job on social or anything like that. And what if they say something like, you can't make YouTube videos or podcasts?
I mean, you have to comply.
Just last week, a girl was on TikTok and she made an analogy and one side was upset and they reached out to and made a big fuss and she became viral, which is the kiss of death. And she was just about ready to start a job and the job said, no, thank you. We don't want you.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing.
And then the next video was her crying about how the mob came for her. And that's tough. I mean, I really don't think the mob should be able to come for you. If they don't agree with you, they say, okay, I don't agree with you, but don't ruin your life.
I mean, obviously,
depends
that's like
a lot
thing.
On the thing.
But there's no way to stop that. I mean.
Yeah, that's a hard one. You can't control other people.
You can't control other people. Yeah, and it doesn't. And like, I think part of it is that you're going to have to. There's no longer a place. I mean, you can legally actually, you know, even find a law. Let's say, John, maybe there is a law. There is a something that is put out there where, you know, that you are in the right and nobody has a right. Like the mob doesn't have a right to do these things. But what is still going to happen is the public opinion. So even though you are taken to court or you take them to court because of all of these things, the public opinion is still going to be there. You cannot remove that. It's sort of like when people are either what do you call it? Those like sexual assault cases or molestation cases or child abuse cases where somebody can say, you know, she might be abusing their daughter. And then all of a sudden, social services will come after me. And then all of a sudden, I will have to fight to prove that I am not abusing my daughter. Mm-hmm. Well, and I will come, you know, and I'm not abusing my daughter. So that's fine. But somebody can just remember, that's the one that was.
And
that they
you don't need social media to have cancel culture. Because if you recall, like we canceled Tammy Faye Baker and we canceled Howard Dean when he was about to run for that was social media actually because he was screaming in some kind of video. But like just on a high school level, one rumor could get around about someone and then all of a sudden that person was completely friendless. Or a teacher, like we had a rumor that our soccer teacher was a male stripper at this place and his name at the strip club was the Italian Stallion. Everyone called him the Italian Stallion in high school. I mean, I don't even know if it was true. It doesn't matter. When the mob goes, the mob goes. There's nothing you can do about it. He was the Italian Stallion, period. That's just how it is, right? Like, you don't need a virtual mob to have a mob.
That's even what's happening. I mean, not full-on crazy canceling stuff, but there's like, that's what trolls are, and that's how trolls get you. And even what happened with that, I kind of skimmed this. So what I'm going to be relaying to you here is via me skimming and kind of reading as much as possible in as little amount of time. But something like this happened to a very popular gamer who just committed suicide. He was one of those people that would go on Twitch and play video games, and he was really inspiring to a lot of people. And I'm not quite sure what his deal was because I'm not a gamer at all, but he ended up committing suicide. And part of the people looking back at he was depressed or he had depression. There was a lot of people who were being incredibly negative to him and totally bullying him and being horrible to him. And it must have thrown him over the edge, you know, like people like are unrelenting in their criticism of him and all the things that he was doing. And he was 31 years old, I think. Really young dude. Yes,
31.
Yeah. And so I don't think that that is cancel culture specifically. And I think to some degree, people keep thinking, cancel culture as a thing when I think it's always been around. It's always been around. And usually I sense the unfair of it all is usually from people who are finally having to own up to mistakes that have happened in the past. So I don't know. But anyway, how did we get into this cancel? What? Oh, breaking up with your job.
Oh, yeah, right. Because of Mueller.
Okay, that's right. But yeah, now, moving on to the news, because we're going to follow up on this.
The news you can use for the informed podcaster, podcasting news.
I think that we talked a little bit about IP. Have we talked about IP?
Yes, we have talked about intellectual property before because of the woman who was fired from Gimlet, the Gimlet show that she did. And then also because of Stuff Your Mom Never Told You, which is switched to hosts, but not networks. Mm-hmm. Right? So we've talked about podcasters that don't own their show.
Oh, we talked about whatever. What is it?
Call Her Daddy.
Call Her Daddy.
That's why we started talking about IP
when we were talking about Call Her Daddy.
Recently, yes. But we've also talked about the others in the past. There was a science show, a woman who got fired from her own show on Gimlet. Oh. You don't remember that?
And Jordan, what's his name? Jordan Harbinger.
Oh, yeah, Harbinger.
Harbinger, yeah, that's right.
Art of Charm was his show, yeah.
That's right. So this is an article from The Verge, and the title is The Hosts of The Nod Want Spotify to Hand Over Their Podcast. This conversation keeps coming up too, that it seems like this is the host from The Nod, where they are not getting, I guess they left and they can't have their show? Or
no, they pitched the show to Gimlet and it's been acquired by Spotify.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. You explain it. You explain it.
Yeah. So Brittany Luce and Eric Eddings, they work hard to bring their Black culture podcast, The Nod, to life in 2017. They were working full time as employees on other programs at Gimlet, as well as on a show that wasn't at Gimlet called For Colored Nerds. They brainstormed The Nod's concept, recorded and edited a sample, and then pitched it to Gimlet. And then they got the green light and started releasing an episode a week for 3 years. And then Gimlet was bought by Spotify. And the show is the way that the two hosts see the world. They don't necessarily call themselves experts, but it is every bit their faces, their opinions, their voice, their everything. And yet they don't own the rights to it. And when these situations happen before, my stance is always that, you know, your salary is what you're being paid to do this show.
Right.
That you don't get to own your show. That if Ellen were fired from CBS, she'd have to do a new show. The Ellen show would have to be done by someone else. Even if it's called Ellen, it can't be her. It does not own by her because it's owned by the, you know, advertisers pay on for a network. They don't pay you directly. And they're saying, well, they want money for doing their show. They're getting that, though. You are receiving money for doing your show, your salary. And the same with Alex and what's her name from Call Me Daddy. Call Her Daddy. They already negotiated $500,000. You're not going to own your show, but you still have $500,000. $500,000. So like,
right. I mean,
I understand the frustration of pouring everything into a show, but you also could have done that on your own with no money. You could have done that independently like you do the other show for Colored Nerds, but you didn't. You pitched it to Gimlet. Now they own it. Gazai gazan. You're done. As they say in Yiddish, it means it's over.
So
gazai gazan.
They got rid of them and they're putting new hosts in there. Is that what they're doing?
It doesn't say that. Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
It just says they pitch and host the show and they want a part of it. It doesn't say they're fired.
So I think what they said is that Eddings and Luce thought about expanding the Nod's universe beyond podcasts. And so they ran into problems because Spotify owes all the rights to the brand. So if they wanted to have a shop they can't do it. If they wanted to have a book deal, they can't do it. A movie deal.
That's
none
right.
of that stuff. Not and so a, I think that's but, where the problem.
So wait a minute. So how does Kristen Meinzer and Jolenta get a, I mean, they did a book.
Yeah, but I think that it's their stuff. I don't think that it's, and also you have to remember
is it
too,
independent or is it done through NPR by the book? I have to look.
No, it's not. It's, I don't know. I think it's their show. So, and part of it is that you can negotiate said deals, right? When you can open it up and you have the opportunity to understand what these deals are. And I think
you're
here's
right.
the problem with that
to them.
Is that, yeah, the problem with that is that a lot of these deals, especially with the larger networks, and that's why I feel we all need to be aware of stuff like this, is like the larger deals for larger networks are very, very, very much exactly like anything that's happening in Hollywood or in the music business, where they're not reinventing the wheel. They're not trying to do anything other than replicate what already exists. And that is something that I am 100% against, because the point of podcasting is that we were dismantling and we wanted to recreate our ability to get our content out there on our own terms. And so whenever I work with people and whenever, unless they are very, very set into moving into that same path, I am like, no, 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 try this, try this, try this, own this, own this, own this, say no, say no, say no, because yeah. we're trying to redo it, but you have to be super inner, like strong on the inside and not be like completely blown away by the amount of money that could be coming your way. Like, I remember when we were talking about Luminary money, I said to you, if those guys come after us, we're going to do it, but we're going to do it a different way. You know what I mean? Like, we are going to do it in a way that we can actually put all of our balls into that basket, but still keep She Podcast as is, right? So we could create something different. We can create a new show. That's, I'm all cool for that, but nobody's yeah. going to own She Podcast. So when that money runs out, we've got it in our pockets. Right?
I mean, I shouldn't say I would give up the rights to have She Podcast, but for $500,000, I would do a lot of shit. Let's just put it that way. Like, I don't think I would be complaining about $500,000 a year, even if I did live in New York City, because it's $500,000 a year. Like, if I weren't to own the brand, I mean, I know how much work it takes. Like, and I feel bad, especially because this article also implies that this is mostly done to Black talent, but it's not necessarily, but they do pull in another round and Heaven and Tracy and what they had to do to get, I mean, they were given their show to take to another network, but as they pointed out the other day, they were able to take the show another round anywhere they wanted to go. But as they say on Twitter, it wasn't because he was being kind and because he loved the show. It was because it was in their deal in the first place. They probably tried to stop it from happening, but they couldn't. It was, I mean, like from what I read on Twitter, it was an unprecedented move, but not out of kindness.
Well, I guess I'm confused because in this article, it doesn't say that. It says that Tracy and Haven, the host of BuzzFeed's Now Canceled Another Round, also recently tweeted their desire to own their podcast back catalog, aka their RSS feed, which not only contains their show's former episodes, but also gives them the ability to publish new ones to existing subscribers. They couldn't do that. So that's why there's a hashtag called Free Another Round, because they still don't have that.
They don't have their back catalog. It's true. Their back catalog is owned by a BuzzFeed, something they were paid for. But they can take their show and the IP anywhere they want, which is kind of unprecedented. Normally, you're not allowed to do that.
All right. But still, though. But here's the thing, though. I mean, think about this. Think about all of a sudden, and this is why I'm such a stickler for people having their RSS feeds and owning their RSS feeds and not having somebody else doing their stuff. Because if, like, let's say whatever, wherever you're hosting your show goes down, they disappear. You need to understand that you have the ability to take that show and you can host it somewhere else. You can just redirect you have a 301 redirect.
Right.
But what really is killing me is that there's a lot of podcasters out here who are starting out and they're like, okay, I want to move and I don't know. And like, they get stuck not knowing how to do it. They don't know how important their back catalog is. They'll say like, you know what? I'm just going to start over here. And they don't realize that everybody's subscribed to your RSS feed. It's sort of having like moving houses. You moved to a different state and you never told the post office. So all your email, all your snail mail is coming to your other house.
No one quits a job and expects to have their old emails or that email forwarded to a new address. You quit, your shit's gone. Your files are gone. Your photos are gone. When you quit a corporate job, your shit stays at the job. I've never, right, ever had a job that's given me my back email or my back files or my back projects. I've had to steal it all before I quit, first of all. And second of all, like, I think it's kind of ballsy for them to, you know, as much as I know how much work goes into what you do, they didn't seem to mind when it was BuzzFeed's another round and they were getting all that audience. They don't mind using it for notoriety when it's Gimlet or BuzzFeed. And hey, we work at BuzzFeed. That in itself is considered an accomplishment. But now that you don't want that anymore, you want all the things that came with your employment. And sorry, that's not how it works.
Well, I think that there's two separate issues here. One of them is the one that you're talking about. And we talked about that with Rob and Rob on the last episode of The Feed, where it was like, what if Rob and I left Libsyn? We would not take the feed. Like, I have zero expectations.
Right.
Like, I really don't. Like, neither of us have expectations of us taking our show. Like, even though it's actually doing very, very well and people like us, right? So we could start a whole new show from scratch. Like, we would have to do that. I have no expectations. So I understand that. But I think that there's something where you start something out of the blue. It's kind of like, it's a very hard thing. What Another Round did was very...
They were hired to work in the podcast department and do a podcast.
But they weren't. That's the whole point.
What were they doing before? They were not.
They just started. And it was just like, they were already working there. They weren't.
Okay.
So they were already working there. Sort of like we're in an office and then they are going like, we're going to try this out. And you're like, okay. And the reason that it worked is because of them, not because of the thing. So then it started to pick up and then it grew and it was like, whoa, this is crazy.
It didn't start to pick up because BuzzFeed comes with a huge audience. They didn't come up with a podcast idea and go, no, we have to do this on the side because it's you and me. They were like, let's use BuzzFeed and we'll be famous. Ta-da! And they were.
No, but they didn't do that because also there's a sense of there was a lot of shows on BuzzFeed that didn't do very well.
That's true. Theirs happened to be good.
And the other thing is that BuzzFeed also didn't feel they did. No, the entire department wasn't doing very good.
True. That's why they had to go.
Do you remember that's they exactly stopped right. the entire thing?
Yes.
They wanted to
they
do video.
They dropped the whole thing. Yes.
They're like, I'm going to do video now.
I remember. I know. Yes.
So all of that stuff happened. And it's sort of like the canceled shows, you know, on NBC or whatever, the people like that love all those shows that all of a sudden are like dropped. You know what these shows are. All the shows that are canceled. That people are like, I can't believe they canceled that show. And then they have to take that show and see if they can pitch it to a different channel or a different, you know, Netflix has picked up a few of these shows too, where they've just been left off and then Netflix picks it up and then they keep going. Mind you, that said, there's a lot more money involved in creating TV shows.
That's a new thing. Before, when you didn't want to do the show anymore, it was just done. Seinfeld,
it was just done. Yeah.
Friends, done.
Right. What is it? Veronica Mars? I think I remember like with the Veronica Mars show, everybody was like, why did it stop? Let's make it some more.
Firefly. Had
Firefly
season.
Was huge. And they were like, they just wanted, everybody was like, oh my God, Firefly. And I think if it would have happened nowadays, they would have been able to shop it or what, however you say it, maybe. Sell it to somebody else, right? To pick it up.
That doesn't mean NBC will go, sure, here's your costumes, here's your set, here's the couch.
No, you have to negotiate
you
that.
You have to start it all up. Right, but that's what they're saying. Like, I want all the shit I did when I worked there. No,
well, no,
it doesn't
I don't think,
work that
I
way.
Also don't think that it went all the way. Yes. So there's yes, and then there's the other aspect of it too that, and then you mentioned it, that usually it's the, and unfortunately this is the case. I actually got an email. But it was alluding to the fact that there were some of these deals that were done, that it was essentially white guys who got the deals. They got to keep their back catalog. They got to keep all the stuff. And it was just all of these other people who just didn't get it because it was never even offered.
I understand that. And I understand that people pitch their ideas to who they consider their friends and coworkers at the time. And one of the women who are mentioned in the article that we're going to post pitched an idea her first week of working there with no idea about representation or deals or anything like that. She had an idea. They went with it. And what, for whatever reason, she became famous. But to have that, but she was being paid very handsomely for the opportunity to pitch those people. She worked there. You and I don't get to just waltz into Gimlet and be like, hey, I have an idea for a podcast. I mean, she was working there doing something. She was getting paid for those ideas on some level. She got paid more to develop the idea on some level. Just because it's an idea about your life doesn't mean you own that idea. Don't pitch it to your boss. I mean, if you want to own it.
Or when you sign a contract, have a lawyer look it over and say, okay, I want to, if this thing goes belly up, I want the rights back. Or put it in the contract. If it's in the contract, there's nothing that the corporation can do about it. And the fact that it wasn't offered to them, I'm sure it wasn't offered to the other guy either. The other guy probably said, hey, you know what? We want this in the contract. And they got it in the contract, and they could, and when it went belly up, they could leave with it. The thing with her, Call Her Daddy, the two girls had such a media, social media presence in Instagram and Snapchat and all that other stuff. They were afraid that they could just take the show away and start over again, and they would just get bring the whole audience, because they had the whole audience through social media. They would just say, hey, we're no longer Call Her Daddy. We're now we're fathers.
Or you could be smart like Howard Stern, who it seems has negotiated rights to all of his material from every station, because he can play anything he's ever said at any time in his career. So somehow along the way, he must have figured, like, no one's going to own my shit. I'm going to take my stuff and I can go wherever I can go. It may be more common in radio. You know, if you're creating something as an employee, that's it. That's it. It's a whole different subject to talk about how it was white guys making the deal, because that is a conversation about systemic racism.
Exactly.
That does belong in this conversation, but can't really help you in the sense that you were paid a salary. Yes, it sucks, but also you signed a contract and you were paid for this work.
So now we're going to just learn from this too. Now, so this is what Gene said. He sent it over to the feed and he said, I agree that contracts are contracts, but when we agree to work for someone, they own the IP, if that's what the contract says. One of the parts of the story that wasn't covered as you talked about this was the fact that the same organizations were giving an ownership stake to show creators who were white men, but were not giving an ownership stake to women or POC. It does become a bigger deal when structurally there is inequity in the same system.
If that's true, then that's shitty.
Well, right. And that's what I'm saying. And you don't hear about that stuff because it's, again, what you were talking about. It's structurally in the game. It's why, if you start to think about how many men are getting much more money, and even like right now, when I was like, I've been on, because, you know, I'm on Twitter and I'm looking at all this stuff. What's happening right now, too, with a lot of people who are doing diversity and inclusion trainings is that the white women are actually getting paid 10 times more than black women to do the same work.
Also shitty.
To the point where it's like $5,000 for the black woman, $15,000 to $30,000 or more for the white women for the same work.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
That's just, that is bullshit. And people just, like, well, I know you're saying it's bullshit, but what I'm saying is this is a thing. It's like you sit there and you go like, of course that's bullshit. But the thing is that it's set up for that to happen. It's easier for me to negotiate a bigger contract to go in there and to be like, can I have this and this and this, and have somebody go like, yep, you can have it. Versus a black woman who walks in there and asks for the same thing, there's going to be a little more pushback. There's going to, it's just
yeah, fuck part that. Of the I deal. Agree then.
So
if they're giving it to other people, then I agree. It's an absolute crime against humanity. But we didn't get to that part yet. And if we were just going on what we knew in this conversation up until you said that, then they were paid for their work. The end. Goodbye. And there are other women who are not black and other people who have had this happen to them where they've been booted off their network with nothing. Jordan, who's a white man, and the other person I was talking about from Gimlet, who had to walk away from her show. And it just happens. Like, if BuzzFeed was doing that for white men and not black women, then fuck that dude.
But right. I mean,
in general, you don't own the shit that you do at a company. You just don't.
You are correct. Like, and you're right.
If other people do, then fuck that dude.
That's right.
You know, that's all there's to it.
That's the whole point. I think that part of there's two conversations. One of them that structurally it's set up for, and not in an equal way. There is no equity. And the other aspect is that podcasters, and I'm not saying this in a disparaging way. I'm saying this in the sense that right now we're developing an industry, right? So podcasters don't come in at it from the perspective of professional podcasters. Like, there's a lot of us who are maybe journalists, maybe audio producers, storytellers, or indie people like us who are just starting and we get into this medium that also is new. So when we come into negotiating a contract, even now, let's say somebody offered you and I something, we would still look at it and go, is that good? Should we ask for something? Like, we don't know because it's all new.
That's true. But you and I have discussed whether or not we would do this or that. And we, you know, we've talked about scenarios and we always have said that we would retain our own name.
Well, yeah, no, but I know that. But when I say in terms of payment, in terms of like, you know, with the women from Call Her Daddy, all of a sudden, some of the guys were kind of making fun of them or something like that because they were saying they got screwed because they didn't get as much money or they didn't know they could negotiate something. So then like they're put in a position where they're all of a sudden thinking they're being taken advantage of, but they don't actually know how much money is supposed to be negotiated, and then they overstepped, like they went
right
the other way around because the other dude started
like he negotiated a deal for TV, not realizing that podcasting is completely different and you don't do that.
Right. Correct.
So that's why they got fucked.
That's why I think there's all kinds of weird things happening right now. And especially as independent podcasters, as we're starting to step into these conversations and contracts and what all of that stuff means, is that we have to get smarter about making decisions and also be super clear-headed in how much it actually is worth. Because there are going to be times when we can negotiate something on the low end because it's not as important right now for me, or maybe I don't want to invest that much time on it or whatever. Maybe I'm creating it to be sold, right? There's that. Maybe I'm creating this thing so that I can step away from it in 5 years. And maybe this is something that really, really matters for us. And I'm sure with you, with She Podcast, I'm sure we'll get to a price, right? We'll get to a price where you and I can look at each other and go like, that's worth it. We can take that deal.
There is a number out there that we can look at and go, now we can be internet detectives. And then we'll just go.
Don't you think that you need representation now?
Yes, I do think you need representation.
Yeah, when you're going against these corporations, these soulless, bottomless hole pit of despair corporations who only care about making money, do you think Jerry Seinfeld goes in and negotiates with NBC for a show? He's got people. He's got an agent. He's got somebody that knows about stuff and knows what to put in there. And all. You're too close to the situation. You need somebody that can handle it, that's not as close, that doesn't have the emotion and go in there and make a business.
Knows what it's worth, knows what's possible. Right. I agree.
Yeah. And I think that's what, as podcasters now, those two people, they wanted a podcast. Gimlet says, hey, you know what? We'll put you on here and we'll give you a salary. They're like, oh my God, this is unbelievable.
That's right. It is. That's why I would have said, I'm like, yeah, let's do it.
This is why it pisses me off though, because they're instantly famous from being on BuzzFeed or Gimlet, like, and they get a salary. Like, how dare you question it? Your Twitter is only that size because you worked there. If you were us, you'd be scratching and clawing for every follower just like we have. So stop crying in your oatmeal when you're fucking famous now. Like, just deal with it. I understand it's your life's work, okay? But you were paid for it, and now you're famous.
Right. There's regrets.
It's hard to feel bad for you. Now, again, if everyone else got something they didn't get, then I don't agree with that. But as far as just the principle all by itself, come on. They have they're famous now. They can do anything they want now and have an audience.
I don't think that that's true. When it comes to being able to, now they're famous and they can do whatever they want. There's so many times, like even lately, since I've been watching so much, you know, TV at home with all of these streaming services, that all of a sudden I'm looking at old episodes of like Hill Street Blues or something like that. And I'm like, what happened to the ad actor? They were really
some of them
like,
disappeared.
Hot at that time. Are they working?
I do that too.
No. So this is what I'm saying. It's like some of these things are hot for like the moment. And then all of a sudden people move on. If they don't see them, it's like, oh yeah, remember her? She was really good. Like even now, like even with like Adam Curry. Like I remember even though he's like the podfather and everybody talks about, you know, him being in the podcaster dude, I still think MTV.
Same. I don't see him as a podfather. He's a fucking VJ.
Right.
And I would still fangirl all over that shit.
Yeah. So it's like then anybody else you talk to about, I mean, and I'm not, I don't want to be disparaging about him because he's done wonderful things for podcasting. But for the layperson or whatever, Nobody is. Who's Adam Curry? Member? MTV? Member? VJs? What? What is that? Huh? What else did he do?
Same with Joe Rogan. Do you remember anything Joe Rogan has acted in? Like he was in fucking
just
news
when
radio,
he
which was
that
hilarious.
Stuff, the worms, or what was that TV show that he was doing? That
oh, Fear Factor.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
I didn't
him
even
from.
Know him from that.
Me neither.
I remember him from that.
I remember him from news radio.
I don't remember
news
from
radio
that.
With Phil Hartman.
I don't know anything
oh, yeah.
other than that.
He was
for
a dumb,
Rogan.
A numbnuts like, in that, and he was hilarious.
That is what I remember him from. And that's why whenever I hear Rogan, when I started to hear Rogan, I was like, isn't he the Fear Factor guy? That's why I yes. dismissed him. Like right
yeah,
away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, for me, it was an actor on a sitcom. He was originally.
So
right, anyway.
I challenge that assumption that if you get famous and you do the one thing, that all of a sudden everybody's going to do your stuff. Because no, that's not the case. Particularly when things like this happen, where you're known, like, where you can parlay off of stuff, where especially for podcasts, I mean, I would hate to lose so many things in my back catalog that we have discussed. Like it just feels like. Could you imagine if we weren't, if all of a sudden we moved on and somebody else used the RSS feed and we had to start She Podcast from episode, let's say 300, and we had no access to 300 episodes that we've done in the past? It's like we'd have lost a history.
Yeah.
And we couldn't even say anything. Anyway.
Any lawyers that are listening to this show, any podcasting lawyers that are listening to this show right now, the people that are lawyers that also podcast, they've been banging their head against the wall for the past 15 minutes while we've all been talking about this, because they're probably saying representation, representation, representation. And now it's there's money involved. And when there's money involved, shit gets sideways. It's a crap game. Everybody's throwing dice. Some people will hit roll a seven. Other ones roll craps. And you've got to protect yourself. Guard your loins.
Yeah. And also podcasters, I mean, podcasters don't start from the get-go thinking, I need to get a lawyer. But I guess from now on, that's going to be part of like the start off, you know, podcasting 101. Here's a mic. Here's a computer. Find a lawyer.
Here's your editor. Yeah. Here's your lawyer.
Best of luck.
Here's your lawyer. But anyway, do we still have a sponsor?
We do have a sponsor. Memberful is still our sponsor. So if you are looking to do a membership for your audience, you can do shepodcast.com/memberful. It's the easiest way to sell memberships to your audience, used by some of the biggest creators on the web. You can now use Memberful to build sustainable recurring revenue. Wouldn't that be nice? By selling access to a members only podcast.
My God, it's so nice.
Hey, go to shepodcast.com/memberful. It's very easy for your listeners to subscribe in their favorite podcast player. It works with your existing hosting. You don't have to change your workflow or anything. It includes everything else you would like to have in order to run a great membership. Custom branding, gift certificates, Apple Pay, free trials, tons more. shepodcast.com/memberful. Tell them we sent ya.
Tell them we sent ya.
Tell them we sent ya.
I do want to mention that Podthon is coming up, y'all.
It's next week, right?
Well, at least, yeah, when this goes live. So you guys need to, you people, need to head over to Podthon.
Ooh, you mean you people?
You people. You
I think
people.
You guys are better than you people.
You people.
You people. You, my friends. 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 Attend Podthon. It is July 18th through July 19th. It's a virtual summit for podcasters.
On a weekend.
All weekend. That's right. You can get your tickets over at podthon.com. They are doing such fantastic work over there. The Walk Podcasters and the Asian American Podcasters have gotten together to create a super incredible conference where the speakers are, I think, here, primarily people of color. So it's going to be an amazing, amazing experience for most for this entire thing. So you guys go check it out. Link is going to be in the show notes. All the schedule is already set up so that you guys can, you people, you friends of mine.
You people. I don't know who you're calling you people.
Can start up. Can sign up. Oh my gosh, this is so hard. I'm telling you, it's really hard. Okay.
Sorry.
But I also want to share that I'm going to be doing a webinar before that. That is Who Are the Latinos in Podcasting? And I am going to be following up some of the data that came with the Edison Latino, the Latino listener report that Edison Research did, that I'm going to talk about hopefully next week. It's just that I want some more time to be able to talk about that instead of just kind of saying it off the fly. I'll give you guys a link in the show notes for this, but this webinar is going to be put on by Libsyn, and it's going to be, I'm going to have guests. Juleka Lantigua Williams is coming on, and Martina Castro as well, which they were literally the fuel to make this survey for Edison Research happen. And they are some of the leading women who are leading in podcasting to really expand global reach in podcasting. And we are going to be talking about some of this data and then where we can take steps, but also to be able to understand why this data actually matters for all of you people who are not, and particularly podcasting in Spanish, right? Because people are like, oh, I didn't know it's not, that's not for me because podcasting in Spanish is not for me. But this was an amazing bit of research. So I'm going to have a link in the show notes. You guys can look at the research or attend or watch the replay if you haven't already. And then we'll discuss it next week, hopefully. But now we're moving to some tool tips.
Elsie's tool tip.
Oh my gosh, dude. I still have, look at the itchy. Do you see my itchy?
Where?
What is that? What did you get bit by there?
What the? Yes, I see that. See? Unless you've been lifting weights.
It's my butt. Remember when I got bit?
Yes, you had a wasp sting.
That stung?
That shouldn't still look like that, Elsie.
It actually, I'm scratching it and it's so itchy. It's like it went from here and it went all the way here. And I'm wondering if I have.
Yeah, but I'm guessing you're spicy and delicious and you just don't want the bugs to want to eat you. So pick some. Spray some shit. It won't hurt you.
This is a fantastic transition, though, y'all.
Yay.
Because now we're getting into the Zoom H8, okay, that actually looks like a spider. Have you seen this thing?
It's amazing.
Go ahead and look at it.
No.
It looks like a gigantic spider.
I can't right now because it's just another thing that I want to get my hands on because it looks amazing. Why am I going to? I don't need all these things.
No one needs these things.
Exactly. Well, what am I going to use it for? Like, I have the H6 sitting here in a box. I never use it now. I want the H8. I want it. Why? I don't know. Because it looks cool, and it looks like it'll do – you can put it has six inputs right now. If you take the microphone off the top, you can put that cap on. That'll give you two more, which will give you eight.
Well, so this was, like, the best tweet that I saw on Twitter, of course, because it was on Twitter. It's a tweet. And this is from Sarah
Thank
Miles.
You, Elsie. Can I quote you on that, it being a Twitter tweet?
Yes, please. Yes, please. So anyway, this is from Sarah Miles, and she said, in my professional opinion, I like the Zoom H8 just because it's called the Zoom H8 and looks like a deadly robot spider.
Okay.
That would be a reason not to buy it.
Come on. Have you seen the deadly... it's a deadly robot spider.
It does look like a deadly robot spider.
That's what it looks like. Therefore, it matches us talking about bug bites. Because look at it. It's like an alien thing with things coming out of it.
It also has a touch screen. The front of it looks like a face. If Zoom was cool, when it started up, it would have two eyes and a mouth.
It's freaky. And it has little red things. It looks like a deadly spider.
It does.
Like a deadly one. Because with the red buttons and all...
But it's touch the screen for the – it's all touch screen now. You don't have to go to the side and then use the button and then scroll, which is cool. It makes it easier to do things.
You're being no fun because I still want to stick with the fact that it's a deadly robot
spider.
Sorry,
but this was told.
And you're talking about, it's touch screen. Well, yeah, it's cool. But the design's a little funky. It looks like a spider.
Well, then you're really going to hate the fact that it actually has eight presets like the Rodecaster Pro where you can load in sound effects and use that. You're going to really hate that because spiders don't have sound effect capability.
No, they don't. They don't.
Sorry.
But alas, if y'all want, it's about $400.
No way.
But you can do all kinds of really amazing things. Yeah.
Oh.
It's going to be
$400. It's a lot of cash.
It's like $395 or something.
That's a lot of
rules. So yeah, $400 for it. And it looks fancy. They've got all kinds of like what John was talking about, all kinds of presets, all kinds of fun stuff, all kinds of things you can stick into it. And the H6 has been so solid and amazing. And hopefully this thing will be even better. Mm. Although again, it's really funky looking. It's very different in terms of the design. Like the design is like
It's almost, if it has an, and I don't know this for a fact, but if it had an audio interface where it would go into a computer like the Rodecaster Pro does, now it's almost mixer cape. It's like a mixer. basically. Right. It has everything.
No, I think that it does all those things.
Right. So now you have a mixer that you can that is amazing. And it's going to be $200 cheaper than the Rodecaster Pro.
Than a Rodecaster Pro. Amazing. And it's more compact.
You can take it anywhere with you.
And do all this stuff.
All the things.
I know, Jess is like riveted by this because she loves to talk about all these gadgets.
Struggling to stay awake, I'm not going to lie.
And it looks like a spider, which is the best part.
And it looks like a spider.
I'm struggling.
The hate. I just thought it was funny. The Zoom hate.
Can I throw a tool tip that I just probably, I was 0 years old when I found out about this yesterday.
Oh my God. Okay, John, go.
If you heard about pod.link, have you heard about this?
Yes, I have. We love pod.link.
I was 0 days old yesterday when I found out about this. And
really?
Yes.
Are you kidding?
No. See, these things slide by me. It's great because you can just get them and you can actually, for $10, and it's only $10 a year, it would be pod.link/your podcast name for $10 a year. Mm-hmm. And then you can use that in all your social media and it takes you there. And it's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. You just anybody can click it and subscribe to your podcast. So much easier than trying to make a post for Apple, a post for Google, a post for Spotify. So much easier.
Who does that?
Absolutely.
Pod.link.
Wait, I did.
No, I'm saying I did that. Your host should be.
I still.
Oh, I see it all the time.
Really? Well, Captivate does it. Captivate definitely does it. They have their pages are anything. If you go to Captivate, like whatever the name, like go to the. Okay, so this is a weird show. I have not listened to it. It is a podcast about podcasting, people. Again, I have not listened to it at all, but it's called The Talking Llama Podcast. So the reason that I called my attention is because the name has absolutely nothing to do with the focus of the show. The artwork is a llama on a mic, and it's a podcast about podcasting. But anyway, they host on Captivate. And if you go to talkinglamapodcast.captivate.fm/listen, Captivate does that for you. It has all of the beautiful, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful landing page. It is iOS optimized, mobile optimized, and it has Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, RSS, Pocket Cast, and Overcast. You can just do one tap, subscribe, and it's pretty. It's very nice. And that's part of the.
It is pretty.
That's part of the.
They
stuff.
Do. They have a very nice.
I mean, I'm not saying Podlink is not good. Podlink offers a lot more stuff. And the last thing that I love about Podlink is that they have a player of the last episode of yours is right at the top of the page. So that's an extra. The other service is like there's Plink. I think yes. It's Plink. Plink. And then there's another one that Wave does. Wave does the same thing too. Wave, the one that makes audiograms, they have a landing page that's just like this. Again, Captivate. And then there's another service too. There's all kinds of services like this, but I think my favorite is Podlink.
Yeah.
Even though I really love the guy who develops Plink. He's awesome. So.
Yay.
Anywho. All right, y'all. All right.
I think we're ready to wrap it up. So Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode of She Podcast. If you want to find us on the web and social, you can find us at She Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You can also find our website and all our show notes, shepodcast.com. If you want to give us some feedback or just say hello, send it to feedback@shepodcast.com. All the links from today's episode will be in the show notes at shepodcast.com. Thank you so much for listening. We love you.
Mean it.
Bye.